are listening to the WorshipWednesday.com podcast. It's almost Christmas time, everybody. Thank you for joining me. It's Rob Reed of the WorshipWednesday.com podcast. I have somebody local today. It's Doug Martin, a local to me in the Los Angeles area, the San Fernando Valley, and a really special guy who is the head of a very special family, the Martin family. I'm talking about Doug Martin and Teresa Martin and their boys who sing together at Valley Park Church in North Hills, California. And they have regular concerts, and I had the privilege of being able to see them actually a few times. As recently as earlier this year, I missed them, I think just a few weeks ago, they played there at the church. And that's in North Hills, California, again, Valley Park Church. I believe that's on Roscoe, if you're familiar with the area. I could be wrong, but I'm sure a Google check will fix that. But anyway, Doug is an ancient dude like me. I guess that's a nice way to say it. Or let's just say not young would be the politically correct. And so you can hear it in his music, his influences, very 70s style, but a wonderful style that is a storyteller's style. And there's a personal touch to all of the music that Doug does and all of his family. And it is just really beautiful. There's a song at the end of the interview I'll be talking with Doug shortly. And the song after is called Surrender, which is a newer song of his. And he has a great testimony regarding how he wrote that song. So I look forward to you hearing that. If you are a Christian worship artist, you songwrite, and you would like to be featured on this podcast, by all means, email me at rob@worshipwednesday.com. Or if you go to a church and you know somebody and you'd like to give them a little bit of recognition and you think the world that other churches should be singing their songs, rob@worshipwednesday.com. I thank you for your support of this ministry, and I thank you for listening. And without further ado, here is Doug Martin. Hi, everybody. It's Rob. I'm really happy to present to you. You know, we talked before we started here about how Doug Martin and my combined ages probably means we should have been in heaven a long time ago. But, you know, we're not going to talk too much about that. Doug Martin, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining me here on Worship Wednesday.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So we have your Twitter testimony. It's going to be in the artist profile at worshipwednesday.com. And you talk about how you were convicted at 18 years old and you turned to Christ and you were on fire. But then all of a sudden you grew cold and you spent 20 years in church before you recently woke up. Now, that obviously calls for a big explanation, so go for it. When you grew cold and you blew past 20 years of church, what happened during that period?
Well, I think what happens with a lot of us, we come to know Christ and we're on fire for God and we're talking to all of our friends and family about the Lord. And then I think I'm not alone in that. I think a lot of us kind of settle into church life and we kind of separate ourselves from our old life in a lot of ways. And for me, I know that I just kind of took to that. And pretty soon all I was ever talking to or hanging out with were my Christian friends. And I think over time I was very active. I was leading worship. I was a deacon in the church and off and on and very active, but just not had kind of lost something. Eventually I started kind of to wake up and realize that what did my life really counted for, and what have I been doing for the last 20 years in service for Christ? I know that the church is very important to Christ, and it's not a wasted effort to give our lives to serving other Christians. But for me, I know that I had totally turned off my thinking about the world around me and people that didn't know Christ, and I wanted that to change.
Was there a particular event, or was it a series of events that led you to this new awakening? What happened?
I don't think it was any particular event, other than just kind of a sense of longing in my in my spirit to really know the Lord in a more intimate way. I kind of started really seeking God purposefully, setting aside time for prayer to seek God about, you know, what I was to do with my life, because I felt this kind of longing. And the answer that came back was a very strange one to me, and that was that God was asking me to go sing on the street, which was something that I had just came out of the blue, and I avoided that that whole idea for several weeks while God continued to prompt me to do that. And through a series of events, I finally ended up obeying God and actually finding a place out on the street in Burbank, and just started very kind of cautiously and sheepishly singing out on the street.
Was there a particular particular event or something that led you to Burbank? Why Burbank?
I just kind of took the tactic of, okay, God, here I am, and where would you like me to go? And it sounds kind of odd, but I actually got in my car with my guitar and just started driving around. And I ended up down in Burbank, down near the AMC theaters down there. There's kind of an open area near a Starbucks, and just parked myself out on the street and said, okay, God, here we go, and started singing.
That's
and
awesome.
Of course, you know, right off the bat, people want to give you money, you know, so I had to start changing my tactics, and I eventually came up with a little sign that said, no money, please, it said, no money, please, free prayer. I will pray with you about anything that you have need for, nothing strange, no strings attached. And within a couple months, I had over 50 people actually stop and ask me to pray with them.
Wonderful.
For every kind of need imaginable.
Well, they call that, you refer to it as busking, right? And I guess, you know,
yeah.
What is the art of busking, and, you know, what has it done for you spiritually, busking for the Lord?
Well, busking is an old English term that refers to doing some type of performance out on the street, most of the time for money. And so it's just kind of a common term that's used for people that sing on the street. But for me, it was an act of obedience and kind of a humbling thing in a lot of ways. 90% of the people that walk by think you're out there begging for money, or, you know, they don't pay any attention to you. And so for me, it was an obedience thing. And I began to be able to hear the voice of the Lord leading me in conversations with people, and where I should go and what I should do. And it's kind of a wonderful thing to be able to set aside a time and say, here I am, Lord. Do with me whatever you wish this evening. I'm here to serve you in any way. And there were nights when nothing would happen, and there were nights when I would be able to share the gospel with four or five people. And it was glorious.
Is there a particular moment that you had that really stands out in your service to the Lord in this manner? Is there a single individual or any memory that you have that stands out in your head?
Man, there's a lot of them. Probably the one that stands out most in my mind is three young girls came by and listened for a bit, and then they came up and asked me, hey, what are you doing out here? You know, and I explained to them that, hey, I'm just out here singing, and that I'd be willing to pray with them if there was anything they had need of. And I ended up talking to them for almost 40 minutes, and eventually was able to really share the gospel with them. And at the end of our conversation, one of them looked at the other one and said, you know, I think we're going to hell. I didn't tell her that, but it was just interesting that they kind of came to that conclusion, and I was able to share with them the good news of Christ, and that he had died for our sins, and that, you know, that wasn't something they needed to be concerned about if they were willing to give their hearts and lives to Christ. And I believe they really listened that night, and it was just awesome to be able to share the gospel with three young ladies who later on said that they were happy they had missed their movie, actually.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's been fun to talk with me, so that one stands out in my mind. But I've had dozens and dozens of just awesome opportunities to speak to people. And it's something I would have never known about had I just stayed home and watched TV or decided to go to, you know, a meeting or something.
Well, I'm so glad you answered that call. I mean, it's very clear, I'm sure, to everyone listening and certainly to me who has seen you play live with your wife and your boys, that your heart is so pure for God and all that you do, in particular in your music and the manner in which you sing. And I'm anxious for people to hear. I think we're put Surrender, which will come after this interview. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how you got involved with music ministry, first with your wife, Teresa, and then with your boys. What is that like, and how did you convince your boys to do that?
Well, it's kind of funny to have boys that are in their early 20s who actually are interested in singing with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of an odd phenomenon, but my wife and I started singing in a band before we were married, and her brother actually dated my sister, and that's how we kind of met. But we were involved in church and have done, well, like I said before, worship and music ministry pretty much our whole lives, and started writing a number of years ago, and more recently have been writing together, which is awesome. So as we've kind of, our kids were kind of grown, kind of grew up with our music, and actually liked it. And now when we go to do concerts, our kids come, and my wife and my kids sing half the stuff we do, and we love to harmonize together and have a good time. So they enjoy doing it, which is awesome.
It's amazing. I mean, I can just tell you, you know, I've written a couple songs, and my son, who's almost 4 years old, when I hear him in the back singing songs, you know, singing songs along with me to Jesus, I can't tell you the amazing, loving feeling. I mean, it's just an amazing feeling. I can't imagine being on stage and working for the Lord, you know, singing out to the Lord and revealing your love to everyone for the Lord, for everyone that's listening, and your boys are there and your wife is there with you. It's got to be just a wonderful experience and a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, and even my middle son, Scott, who's 26 now, my mind's gone blank, you know, he saw me going out to go sing on the street, and he said, "Dad, I want to come with you." And I said, "Well, sure," you know. So he came, he started coming out with me, and he's been out with me a couple dozen times, actually singing with me. And
awesome.
Just does an awesome job. No fear at all.
That's wonderful. Now, you're still working on new music. You said you just wrote a song, How I Need You. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and then I want you to tell us a little bit about the song Surrender and what was the impetus for that song.
I have continued to write over the years, so I have a boatload of songs, and most of them have never been recorded. You know, I have a good job, and I'm not really seeking to, you know, break into the music industry or anything like that. Mm. But I do want to be faithful to share what God's done with us. We're currently in the process of making an album, and I guess that's what you call them. Maybe I should say making a CD. I guess I'm dating myself.
No, album's
but,
good.
okay.
But then I don't know if I'm a good judge because, you know, like I said, we're both ancient, sadly, but that's okay.
See, there you go. At least you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
But we're in the process of doing that, you know, with some decent quality so that people can, you know, hear the songs and hopefully enjoy them. But the song Surrender I wrote, actually, my son had a girlfriend who kind of became part of the family, as that goes. And she was, just a really sweet young lady who was in our house a lot, and we would go places together as a family. And she came from a Christian background. And after a couple of years, she started to take a turn, kind of hanging out with the wrong crowd and all. And eventually, her and my son ended up breaking up. Mm-hmm. But my heart just went out to her and her family. She ended up leaving home and kind of doing a lot of stuff that was very destructive. And so I wrote that song, Surrender, kind of with her in mind, although I think it kind of crosses over to a lot of young people that are in that situation. Just kind of sharing my heart as someone who knows God, kind of crying out to those that have turned away from Him, and that's what that song's about. The most recent song I wrote, it was how I need you, and that's just kind of where I've been at these days. You know, just realizing how much I need God. And the song starts out saying, I like to think I've got it all together. And if asked, I'll say I'm doing well. A kind of old familiar way of lying to myself. I know a lot of us kind of put on airs for people and kind of wear, we kind of put our best kind of face forward, whether we're at church or at work. But I think most of us understand how much we really need God and how weak we really are. And
oh,
I think
yeah.
the more we can kind of live closer to that, the better off we are.
Yeah, and that's sort of the, you know, the potential for problem is sort of what you saw with your testimony, is that when we forget a little bit about God, when we do a lot of church stuff and we get comfortable, there is some level of getting that strength from our congregation or our fellow Christians at a church, and sometimes there's that risk, there's that potential forgetting where the real source is. You know, the source is the Holy Spirit in all of us, which is where we feel the comfort, and it's not just, you know, in the building and in the people. And so we can find your music at While We're Waiting. That's While, W-E-R-E, waiting.com. And you have everything on there. How many songs do you have on there total?
I don't know. I've got a lot of really old stuff on there that's a little embarrassing, to be honest.
It's a joyful noise. Always a joyful noise.
Yeah, it's a joyful noise. But the first several songs that are on there are rough drafts of the album that we're currently working on.
Great.
All of our music is always available for totally free. When I get the CDs done, I'll be giving those away for free to anyone who wants one. So.
Great, awesome. And what I find interesting, this is why, you know, it's nice to get some different perspective. Your answer to the artist profile question, what are some of your favorite Christian artists, is you said, I don't really care for popular Christian music. So I loved that, because, you know, usually most of the guys I've interviewed are like 25-year-old, you know, average, and they love all contemporary Christian music and all that. What's wrong with contemporary Christian music today, if anything, or just not your favorite?
Well, a lot of it is just my own personal preference. I really like live, kind of raw, deconstructed music in general. I love open mics. I love live performance where you actually get a sense of who the person is and what they're doing. And I think for the most part, Christian music, not only from my perspective, but by the world, is viewed as kind of overproduced in general. Mm. And very kind of superficial. And, you know, I hate to make generalities, because there is some great music out there in the Christian world. Unfortunately, not much of it is played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, no, I tend to agree. I mean, it's like there was you know, this isn't very edifying necessarily, but I've seen South Park. I'm, you know, afraid to admit, but there's an episode on South Park that makes fun of Christian music, but there's an interesting message there. You know, when you can interchange the word Jesus with the word baby and turn a worship song into a romance song, it's probably not a very deep worship song. And so, you know, there's a lot of songs that, at least with me, that you hear, and it's almost like, well, I'm not hearing enough about Jesus, or I'm not really hearing enough gospel in this. I'm just sort of hearing a hook and a groove and, you know, appeasing to some of the producers of the album that want to make sure that it gets sold. So I think I understand what you're saying, if that's sort of the general idea.
Yeah, I'm okay with people relating to Jesus in a personal, kind of an intimate way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really mind that so much. It's like you could listen to 10 or 15 Christian songs on the radio, and basically they're all kind of saying the same things.
Well, you mentioned you like John Foreman. I believe he's a
I love John Foreman. I think part of why I like John Foreman is because he does a lot of the kind of music that I like to listen to. And, you know, I've never met the man, but he seems like a very real person and tries to get down to some deeper things.
Well,
his writing's very good.
Yeah, and it's storytelling style. You know, when John Foreman's on his own, there's a lot of storytelling style, like your other influences of Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell. And you, I mean, clearly those influences are seen in your music, and I love your music, and I know other people will. That's why I'm very excited to be able to expose your music to others, and especially when they can go to your website and just download a ton of, you know, you're being a little humble, but I think it's amazing music, and you know, I hope that people somehow can still, notwithstanding, they can download for free, maybe find a way to support your ministry. You know, I don't know if you need support or, you know, if it's going fine. I would buy your CD, sir. So just letting you know.
Well, I won't let you. I will give it to you.
Okay.
Like I said, God's blessed me with a good job, and I really don't need any support.
But, that's awesome,
bro. I appreciate the thought.
That's awesome. So you're at Valley Park Church in North Hills. How long have you been there?
Valley Park Church in North Hills, been there about 2 years, and loving it.
And you play guitar for the worship team?
Play guitar for the worship team, yeah.
Do they have you singing, any of the other Martins?
My wife will sing backup, and I sing a little backup, and sometimes I fill in when the worship leader isn't there.
Other than, I know you do some concerts there, but do you do any of your own music during the service as well, or it sounds like no?
Occasionally, yeah. I wouldn't count on it if you just showed up on a Sunday, but, we've probably sung, like, special songs in a service a dozen times while we've been there.
Great. Well, thank you, brother. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your servant's heart. Thank you for sharing your talents to the world. And just really appreciate it. And I hope that you continue to do so. I hope that God continues to bless you and your family. And I look forward to the future music that you're going to be putting out. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. God bless you. That was a fun interview. Really nice man. Really blessed man with a wonderful family and a great talent. So check him out at whilewerewaiting.com. That's W-E-R-E in between while and waiting.com. And if you're an artist and you'd like to be featured here or you know somebody that you'd like to suggest, rob@worshipwednesday.com. Check out the website and read the artist profile on Doug Martin at worshipwednesday.com. There's also a section with all the free music that we've had on that website. There's plenty of free worship music, including the song you're about to hear. You can download for free at the website. And again, at whilewerewaiting.com, you can download a plethora of music from the wonderful songwriter you just heard from. I could use a little bit of prayer. I've had some recent attacks on me in terms of auto accidents that have been happening and some things that are, you know, frustrating, and I'm trying to deal with a little bit of anger, so I need prayers for peace and prayers for protection. So thank you for that. And on that note, I hope you'll have a very restful and non-stressful end of the year and Christmas season. Merry Christmas to you upcoming. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Should be back with another Worship Wednesday podcast next week. If not, it will. There could be a brief abiding time, perhaps, and we'll be starting at the beginning of the year. But if you're new to the podcast, please, by all means, go check out, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, listen to the past interviews of some very wonderful groups, wonderful group of individuals, of men who have spoken with me from throughout the world, including as far away as South Korea. God bless you. I'll be talking with you soon. And now, here is Doug Martin's Surrender.
Seize the day and chase the night, letting go with all your might. Better do what's wrong than fight. That's what it's come to. There's nothing left that you won't dare. It's safer here, but you're out there. Out of hope, too far to care. And I can't change you. But late at night when ghosts are seen, I pray you're remembering the innocence Jesus can bring. If we'll surrender, just surrender. Friends are friends and some are true, but is a friend somebody who will let you do the things you do and not be crying? So play the games and have your fun, but this is real, oh, war's begun, and this kind of fighting's never done till someone's dying. And when the morning sun comes in and you're tired of all you've been, I pray you will run to him and surrender. Just surrender. Hell is fighting for you. Won't you raise your flag of truth and choose arms that open wide? Raise your hands, lay down your pride. And surrender.